First, bars and restaurants around Wisconsin and the country are opening back up after more than a month of being closed because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Some are welcoming customers like normal. Others are acting under local restrictions to operate at reduced capacity. While being shut down was a big financial blow for restaurants, reopening can come with its own expenses. And a lot of restaurant owners say it's a struggle to cover the cost without knowing what's ahead. Heather Haddon is a reporter covering restaurants for the Wall Street Journal. She's based in Chicago. Heather, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Before we get to those reopening expenses, I know restaurants can be a tough business even in good times. How hard hit have they been over the last couple months?
Yeah, it's really been incredible, especially for independent restaurants, which is what so many diners love to go to, their local Main Street restaurants. So the sit-down dining bans that folded out in March meant that most of them lost nearly all of their sales. So unless a business already had a robust to-go operation, was doing delivery and takeout, it basically had to shut down. The ones that did have to-go options, you know, maybe they replaced 10, 20% of their sales, at least initially, with those takeout operations. But otherwise, their business basically shut down, which has really meant, you know, closing down kitchens, furloughing workers, having to negotiate with their landlords on rent deferrals, if possible, if they could obtain that, and their suppliers. And so a lot of those restaurants have been effectively dormant until now, when suddenly, you know, they have the option to turn the lights back on, but resuming business just really isn't that easy either.
That's a key part of a piece you wrote recently. If I'm a restaurant owner, even if tomorrow I can open up to full capacity, in some ways it's easier said than done, in part because that's kind of the cash flow and supply flow issue. Can you talk about what a lot of the restaurant owners you talk to are facing?
Yeah, I think the pandemic has really exposed something that's been true in the restaurant industry for a long time now, for many, many years, that they run on very thin margins. So the business and the revenue they bring in today, they really need to keep going, to buy the supplies, the fish, the produce, to pay their electricity bills, to pay their workers, to pay their rent. They need customers in their seats to be able to buy all those things to, you know, to operate. So, you know, a lot of restaurants work on credit lines that, you know, they buy goods and guarantee their suppliers future revenue and future profits to keep going. So because of that, a lot of them had bills when they closed down. They hadn't paid all their suppliers and, you know, hopefully worked out some terms to arrange for those situations. But now they're facing debt when they open, and no guarantee that they will have the same business or anywhere near the same business when they open again. So it's put in a lot of restaurant owners into a real debate. How do they reopen again? What kind of service level should they be opening again at? How much food should they buy if they have the money to buy food? And should they take on new debt and credit to do that? And that's really a debate I think a lot of restaurants are having right now. How to reopen? Can they reopen? And what kind of restaurant should they be if they can reopen?
If I am that restaurant owner, even if I want to take on new debt, are the people who usually loan to a small business like a restaurant ready to give me that loan, given that I might already be behind on my bills and, as you say, not sure how many people are going to come through the door tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it really depends on what kind of lender relationship you had before and the size of the lender before. And I've really heard all kinds of different situations, with some lenders being very forgiving, willing to extend, you know, some wiggle room on credit to their restaurant clients, whereas others not so much. And, you know, particularly for some of these smaller guys, again, you know, this is all they have to exist on. But for their bank, you know, they have to think about, and again, you know, some of these smaller banks are also servicing other customers, commercial customers that are not doing well as well. So, you know, small retailers, other kind of consumer oriented businesses that really have been decimated by this. So they might not be willing to extend a lot of wiggle room here. And maybe the terms are not so great. So, you know, some of these these loans have very high interest rates. It's just not in the restaurant's interest to get into more debt again on uncertain terms.
Heather Haddon is with us from the Wall Street Journal. We are looking at restaurants, how they were hit by COVID-19 and the struggles as they try to reopen in part or entirely. If you own or work at a restaurant, we'd love to hear from you how you are dealing with these issues at 800-642-1234. If you were a restaurant customer in the past, are you one now? Are you happy and willing to go in and sit down in a restaurant? Call in at 800-642-1234. Another wrinkle here, Heather, and another expense you write about is safety, trying to make sure everything is sanitized. And how are restaurants trying to cope with the reality of that and the costs of that?
Yeah, and this is affecting every kind of restaurant. So from the biggest chain, you know, McDonald's owners to, again, those independent restaurants, that buying all those masks and gloves is very, very expensive. One restaurant owner I talked to, big chain owner in Michigan, said they were going through something like $100 worth of masks and gloves per restaurant per week. I mean, that's just, you know, one of his locations having to spend just that much on masks and gloves. This particular restaurant, it was an Applebee's owner, also had to hire specialists just to sanitize. That's a cost they expect to keep incurring for the long term right now. So this is someone who is just wiping down booths, wiping down benches, you know, making sure everything is clean to reassure customers, to make sure they feel okay to visit the restaurant and to keep people safe. So keeping their workers safe, keeping their diners safe. So that's a whole new expense they didn't have before, again, which they're having to pay for with less revenue.
You also wrote about the reality facing, you know, the people who are the face of restaurants, the servers, the people who are actually at your table when you go in and eat. They're trying to serve with a smile through a mask, trying to reassure people that, yeah, we're handling things as safely as we can. How has their reality changed?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, a lot of servers have worked in the restaurant business for a very long time, particularly at sit-down restaurants. They like the interaction. That's part of what they crave, and that's why they do this, you know, very hard job being on your feet all day. Now they're having to do it with a mask. There's also a lot of guidelines that restaurant owners have imposed about how many times they can so-called touch the table or the customer. You know, they have to very much limit their contact with the number of other diners and customers in the restaurant. There's also rules now for how customers can enter the restaurant. So hostesses have to, you know, sort of play safety guard here. They have to tell people when they can, it's safe to enter the restaurant, you know, that maybe they need to wait in their car before they even get into the restaurant. So really the nature of being a server or a hostess or a busboy in a restaurant has really changed. It's become much more compartmentalized and rigid in a lot of ways. And, you know, I just think wearing a mask all day at work, I think that would be really hard to be able to breathe, let alone interact for these servers. Now on the kind of fast food employee, their work has also changed. You know, they're also wearing a mask all day. It's very regimented about where they can be in the kitchen or in the dining room of the fast food restaurant. So again, a lot of new rules for these workers to consider.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Alamo is with us in Madison. Alamo, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up?
I was curious to know what you guys thought of the fact that most restaurants, being a former cook, they do not usually own their own space, meaning that they're paying high rents on top of everything, usually because of central locations. I was just curious to know what you guys thought about that.
Thanks for calling in, Heather. Restaurants and rents.
Yeah, no, that has been a real flashpoint. And again, that's true for even the biggest chains. You know, we've written about big chains like Starbucks, Cheesecake Factory, all trying to renegotiate their rents because, again, they had such diminished, depleted revenue coming in during the coronavirus pandemic. And yeah, they don't own their properties. So really have been trying to scramble to to get breaks on the rents. But again, for these landlords, often they have other properties coming to them at the same time. So retailers that also were closed, you know, other kinds of businesses that are really looking for handouts. So I think it's been a real mixed bag. Some landlords have, you know, granted, often I would say, waivers, not full on abatements, to try to give some relief to keep these restaurants going. But, you know, they have to pay their bills, and some of them are publicly traded, so they have shareholders to think about as well.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Heather Haddon, restaurant reporter for The Wall Street Journal, looking at the cost of reopening after being closed because of the coronavirus pandemic, facing restaurants big and small around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your life? Are you a restaurant owner who's reopening or trying to reopen? What has this all meant for you? If you're a restaurant worker, love to hear from you. And on the customer side of thing, are you ready to start going to restaurants again? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Heather Haddon, restaurant reporter for The Wall Street Journal, talking about why reopening after COVID-19 and during COVID-19 can be an expensive and tough decision for restaurant owners. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a restaurant owner yourself, have you been able to reopen fully or partially? Are you considering it? What kind of hit have you taken? If you're working at a restaurant or out of work at a restaurant, let us know how things are going for you. And restaurant customers, do you feel safe going in and eating at restaurants right now? Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Dino is with us in Madison. Dino, hello.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good. What's your story, Dino?
Well, I opened a small wine bar and Italian tapas restaurant on March 3rd. And we had about 12 days of phenomenal business, lines out the door, waiting room for tables and reservations, and then abruptly closed on the 13th. So I took about a week to catch my breath, and we came up with a to-go menu and a curbside takeout menu, which has been good. When the 25% opportunity arose, it didn't make sense for us with the number of people we could fit in the restaurant. It was less than 15. So this week, when we were allowed to move to phase two, we started to scratch our heads and figure out what to do. So we're going to try to reopen with outdoor patio and a prefix menu four nights a week and hope that that brings some folks back and we can start up again.
All right, Dino, thanks for calling and sharing your story. Good luck to you as you figure this out. Dino, not alone, Heather, trying to figure out how to make money on limited capacity.
Yeah, the capacity caps have really been a hard thing for restaurants to face. And I think, like Dino said, that some of these caps, you know, 25, even 50% can leave a restaurant with just a few customers that they can serve, especially for a smaller restaurant. I mean, you're really down to very small numbers that don't really make a lot of sense. Outdoor dining does seem to be helping, and a lot of cities, jurisdictions have made it easier for restaurants to apply for outdoor dining permits during this time. And that's been, I think, very helpful for some restaurants. But again, you know, those caps, I mean, it's just, especially, you know, a lot of restaurants make a lot of their business in a very small window of days, you know, Friday evening, Saturday, Sunday. And if you can't fill the capacity those days, you're really out for the rest of the week because Monday and Tuesday is often slow.
Dino, I'm so sorry about that timing. Good luck as you try to get rolling there again. Let's go to another caller at 800-642-1234. Scott is with us in Fort Atkinson. Scott, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was just calling to say that I think it's safe for people to start visiting their restaurants again. I have been doing so, and I've noticed that all the restaurants I've been to have had so many implementations to make sure that me and all the other customers are safe. I mean, even replacing those sticky laminated menus with disposable ones. I mean, everything is disposable, and I don't know. People should go out and support their restaurants. I think it's safe to do so.
Scott, thanks a lot for that call. And Heather, this is a big part of the story, customer perception of restaurant safety. Even as restaurants open, are people going to feel like Scott and want to go out to them?
Yeah, I think it really depends. One restaurant I was talking to says, you know, there's a certain percentage that were early returners, you know, just weren't afraid of the coronavirus and were just happy to come back. But, you know, there's a larger percentage that, you know, maybe somewhere in the middle. There's one subset that is just not going to go back to restaurants until there's a cure for the coronavirus. They just don't feel comfortable. And then there's a part in the middle where, you know, they could be persuaded if they see that a restaurant really is doing all the things, you know, like mentioned, you know, disposable menus, having someone cleaning all the time, making sure people are wearing masks, maybe having outdoor seating. So I think a lot of restaurants are really hoping that middle section, they can try to persuade to come back by spending on these implementations to show that they're committed to safety.
Thanks, Scott, for calling in at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the obstacles facing restaurants as they try to reopen and swing back into gear. Heather Haddon is with us, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Let's bring on another caller now. Kevin is with us in Madison. Kevin, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. I just want to share with the audience that we're one of the restaurants that did not open and will not reopen. And it was a simple calculus. First of all, we could have met the public safety and health-related concerns of our staff being able to comply with all the requirements, you know, post-COVID. The real issue became, and it's simple math, is that when we're asked to remove approximately 30% of our seats because of social distancing and the new rules, you know, the math would have driven up our prices to a point where we would not be competitive. And our business was located on State Street in Madison. And, you know, to stay competitive, we would have had to raise our prices to a price point that we believe could not be competitive. So we chose not to reopen.
And Kevin, not to reopen yet, or are you calling it quits for good on the restaurant?
This is a permanent closure.
I'm sorry to hear that, Kevin. Thank you, though, for sharing that story. Are a lot of people, Heather, in Kevin's boat and making that decision that they are done with the restaurant?
Yeah, so the National Restaurant Association, the main trade association for the restaurant industry, estimates that something like 3% of restaurants will not close, and by year's end, tens of thousands of restaurants will shutter, which obviously is very sad. People love their local restaurants. And, you know, some, we've already seen some bankruptcies also for some chains. You know, some of those might come out of bankruptcy, reemerge, but they'll probably close some locations. So no matter what, this is really starting to happen. And, you know, the restaurant industry is a big employer in the United States. And I think it is going to really impact a lot of people personally.
Thanks a lot for that call. And I got to think for that small restaurant owner, Heather, part of this is a labor of love. I don't think you open a single small restaurant thinking you're going to get rich doing this. This is sad for the people involved. This is something they put a lot of heart and soul into.
Absolutely. And you have to think, you know, when a restaurant closes, there's a lot of ripple effects. So, you know, all those suppliers that restaurant bought for, now that's, you know, they've lost a customer. Obviously, the workers in the restaurant have lost jobs, and there's another, you know, vacant storefront. And, you know, it really is a labor of love for a lot of these owners. So it is quite sad to see.
We heard from Nancy in Toma. She couldn't stay on the line. She says she's a server and she has a request. She asks that people accept the table that they're given. She says she gets people who say they want a different one, but the staff goes through a lot of trouble to make sure tables are clean, the space is prepared. And I imagine that's more important, you know, as they try to make sure people are sitting well apart from each other. Are there things that you think restaurant consumers can do to maybe cut those restaurant owners and staffers a little slack right now, Heather?
That's really interesting. Yeah, and it also just speaks to all the little changes that a customer might not even immediately notice that the restaurant is doing to try to accommodate them. So customers will notice that a syrup bottle that maybe a pancake house would have that you can refill is just not going to be on the table anymore. There's going to be packets, like a coffee urn to refill your coffee is not going to be there. And so a server is going to have to go back and forth every time someone wants syrup packets or a refill of coffee. So maybe being considerate of that for your server, maybe asking them to get some of those things when they initially come to the table and you order and not come back and forth a million times would be helpful.
Got a caller online. We won't have time for them, but they're warning, as a restaurant owner, customers should maybe be ready for higher prices as places start to reopen to cover, you know, the limited capacity, the limited cost. Is that something we're seeing yet, Heather?
I think that's something we could see. I think a lot of owners are trying to be cognizant that they don't want to start raising prices just as people are coming back. And, you know, people have gotten stimulus checks, but are probably feeling a little penny pinch right now. So I think there is some caution about raising prices initially, but eventually they might very well have to be paying for all these expenses with less revenue. So could be something for down the road.
That question for our caller, Karen in Pewaukee. Thanks for letting me steal your question there, Karen. What are you watching for, Heather, as the restaurant industry tries to dig out just in our last minute?
Yeah, again, I think closures will be something to watch. You know, how many restaurants do decide that ultimately this isn't worth it? I do think there's going to be some chains that actually get stronger out of this. So some big franchises that have less competition now for maybe some smaller chains or independent restaurants and have convinced customers that they are safe and that they have drive-throughs that work and that they should come to them instead. They actually might benefit from some of these changes. So also looking for that as well.
Heather, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Heather Haddon is the restaurant reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She joined us today to talk about the cash crunch restaurants are facing as they start to try to reopen their doors around the country.